How many of you this week, not last week, this week, have seen a real live, not that is in your living room, but a real live choo-choo train, a train? Anybody seen a train this week? Tracy and I, yesterday, we were driving down the road here locally, and she said, "There's a train." I was like, "Yeah, there's a train." She said, "It's a passenger train." I was like, "There's not many people on it." She said, "It's a passenger train." Well, what makes trains effective and what makes trains be able to accomplish their mission? They run on tracks. If there are no tracks, the train is not effective and the train does not accomplish its mission. Those tracks are required for that train to be successful. We come to Romans chapter 8, and Romans 6, 7 has really been building for Romans chapter 8 because the Holy Spirit is the track for Christians, very literally. If you do not have the Holy Spirit keeping you in boundaries, you will not accomplish your mission. And you will not be effective. Romans chapter 8, theologically speaking, is one of the greatest chapters in all of the Bible. The theme of this entire chapter is the Holy Spirit. Now, from Romans 1 to Romans 7, the Holy Spirit was mentioned, I think, one time. And in Romans chapter 8 alone, he's mentioned almost 20 times. And it's all about you being effective as a Christian and you accomplishing the mission that Christ would have you to accomplish. So this morning, three teachings about the Holy Spirit. And a lot of us, we live our lives, too many Christians live their lives clueless of the Holy Spirit. So I want to challenge you this morning and contrast the life of the flesh with the life in the Spirit. Sermon I've entitled, Life in the Spirit. So the first truth is this. Notice the reproach of the sinner. Romans 8, look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So there's two types of people in the world. Lost and saved. Those who walk in light and those who walk in darkness. Those who live after the flesh and those who live after the Spirit. Now, don't think that just because the flesh is going to nightclubs and getting drunk, telling dirty jokes and looking at pornography. You can teach Sunday school in the flesh. You can sing solos in the flesh. You can preach sermons in the flesh. The flesh is not to be Christianized. The flesh is to be crucified. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. The whole reason the flesh exists is to pamper you, is to make you happy. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19 says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. That's what the flesh is all about, to get it down to where we live. When I get hot, you know what I do? I cool me off. Whatever I have to do, I either cut that thermostat down or turn the fan up, or I'm going to cool off. When I get hungry, you know what I do? You can tell. I feed me because that's flesh. When I get thirsty, not good grammar, I drink me because it's all about pampering Neil Jackson. I want to make my flesh happy. Most of what you see on television is a result of the flesh. It's motivated by the flesh. It's meant to appeal to your flesh. It's meant to make you think in a fleshly, carnal worldly manner. Now look at verse 5 again. They that are after the flesh do mind or do concentrate on the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind or concentrate on the things of the Spirit. So the spiritual man is more interested on pleasing God than he is on pleasing self. He is consumed with not so much making him happy as he is in making God happy. He lives for God. He loves God's word. He loves God's people. He loves God's house. He loves to worship. That's the difference between the person living for flesh and the person living for God. There's too many saved people, sadly, who live like unsaved people. Put sports over Scripture. Put television before time with God. Who are more interested in being rich than they are in being righteous? Who had rather be happy than to be holy? Now look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. Living for the world is death. Now, Paul doesn't say to be carnally minded leads to death. He says it is death. So the unsaved person is already dead spiritually, and that's why he is consumed with pleasing the flesh. But a lot of times when we get saved, we still live like the lost person, and we're trying to please and gratify the flesh. Look at verse 6. Carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many of you remember AM radio? I have a moment of silence for AM radio. Anybody in here listen to AM radio this week? Come on. Anybody raise your hand? You're nothing to be ashamed of. Anybody? God help AM radio. Remember back in the old days? Where you didn't have the digital, you had to tune the little needle move. Come on, you guys remember that, right? Not these little whippersnappers, but the middle move. And you had to tune it. You had the static, but when you got it tuned and you stuck out your tongue just right and held up your hand, you could get your station. That's what he's taking. You can tune yourself to be connected to the flesh, or you can tune your frequency to be connected to the Spirit. Look at verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity or in opposition against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So the carnal person opposes God, disagrees with God, rejects God's law, say, I know the Bible says do this, I don't want to do it. I know the Bible says don't do that, but I want to do it. Look at verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Carnally minded people. People living in the flesh are more interested in pleasing self than they are in pleasing God. Best way I can explain it is, maybe some of you were like this. Maybe I was like this. Maybe we had someone in our house like this. Or we know someone. Anybody ever heard of a rebellious teenager? Some of you saying, oh yeah. I are one, or I used to be one. Well, mom says, dudes, oh, dad says, oh, just bad. They don't want to do anything. They're just doing their own thing, their own way. They don't like dad's rules. That's what he's talking about. You can live in the flesh. No matter what Budweiser says, it leads to death. It's death. or you can live in the Spirit, and it leads to life everlasting. So number one, the reproach of the sinner. Secondly, look at some of the rewards of living in the Spirit. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. The word dwell means to make yourself at home. So when you accept Jesus as your Savior, God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died in my place for my sin as my substitute. He was buried and he rose again. When you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to reside in you. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in your body. So this is not so much the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Look at verse 10. And if Christ be, next two words, in you. You remember verse 1, we saw it last week. Paul tells us we are in Christ. That has to do with our position. Here in verse 10, Paul tells us that Christ is in us. That has to do with our possession. So hallelujah! You were saved and you were lost. You were undone. You accepted Christ as your Savior. The Holy Spirit of God came to reside inside of you. Look on to the verse. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. When a person is saved, when you accept Christ as your Savior, your body doesn't get saved. Your inner man is what is saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. So while our body has not changed, our actions changed in our lost body, because now the Holy Spirit is living and residing within us. So when we accept Christ as our Savior, we're not turning over a new leaf. We are having a new life because the Holy Spirit comes to reside in us. Best way I can explain it is like this. Baseball glove. Good for nothing. It's never going to catch a ball. It's never going to get a ground ball, a pop fly. It's never going to do anything because it doesn't have anything in it. But if you put a hand in it, and preferably the right hand, who knows a little bit about baseball, hey, it can do what it never could do on its own. That's you. And that's the Holy Spirit. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. The Holy Spirit came to live inside of us. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, He comes into our body, which is not saved. And in our body, which is not saved, the Holy Spirit resides. And He causes good things. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, meekness, to start coming out of our body. Not because of us, but because of what's inside of us, the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells within you. Preacher, I don't understand it. What's he talking about? He's talking about our future glorified body. When our body dies, our soul immediately goes to heaven to be with Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. This corruptible body must put on incorruption. This mortal body must put on immortality. So that's what he's talking about here. We will be given glorified bodies. No sickness. This morning I got up and I was just aching. Glorified body, no pain. No arthritis. Can I get a witness? No more cancer. No more handicaps. So what's it talking about? It's talking about our future glorified bodies. But it's also talking about our present sanctified bodies. Look at the verse again. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, shall also make alive your mortal bodies, your fleshly bodies, by his spirit that dwells in you. I would explain it like this. Defibrillator. You guys know what a defibrillator is? So let's say that we have a problem in here. Our medical team and our security team is going to get you out of here, and they're going to make sure you have a pulse. If you don't, they're going to bring out the defibrillator, and they're going to put it on you, and it's going to give you a shock and jerk you back to life, hopefully. And you'll be fired up because you got shocked, and then you got life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. We're dead. Dead in our trespasses and sin. We're not turning over a new leaf. No. We get the Holy Spirit of God, who gives us a shock, who gives us new life in Christ, who comes and dwells in our mortal body so that we can overcome. Number two. My thing just went crazy. The reward of the Spirit. Number three. Notice how we should respond. The response of the saints. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. So the reward of the Holy Spirit, we are obligated to walk in the Spirit. Jesus gave his life for us. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit here so that we are not alone. So it just makes sense. When you accept his payment for your sin, it just makes sense that we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Look on the verse. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Salvation obligates us. Because Christ died for us, because the Holy Spirit came to reside within us, to live not according to how my body wants to live, but to live how the Holy Spirit wants me to live. Most of us let our bodies control us rather than let the Holy Spirit control us. My body says I'm hungry. Well, I just stuff food in my face. My body says I'm sleepy. Well, I just go. And we let our bodies control us rather than letting the Holy Spirit of God control us. You say, what should we do? Look back at the verse. Verse 13. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So what are we supposed to do? We are to kill. We are to destroy. We are to annihilate the deeds of the flesh. So what my body wants me to do that the Holy Spirit is not pleased with, I am to kill, I am to annihilate. I am to destroy. I am to desecrate. The world exalts these sinful acts. Oh, this is the high life. Oh, you're living it up. No, you're not. You're living it down. And what you're supposed to do, this and the word mortify, you can't get any bigger. It means to destroy. It means to annihilate. It means to kill. It means to do away with all of those deeds of the body. Let me illustrate it like this. Our two boys are here, joined our family 8 years ago. Well, one of the rules of the Jackson household that those two boys have not quite grasped yet. In our household, we don't like snakes. It doesn't matter what color of the snake is, if it's a black snake, if it's a green snake, if it's a purple snake, a pink snake, a checker snake. We in our household, we are part of the Jackson trait. The only thing we do with snakes is if we got to deal with it, we get a shovel and we take off its head. Because we hate snakes. Those two boys came and joined our house, and they haven't quite grasped that. They think snakes are to be played with. Oh, Dad, look, this is a good snake. I'm like, those two things don't go together. It's like good grief. There is no such thing as good snake. The only thing you do with a snake, you either run from it, you get it to run from you, or you get the shovel and off with its head and off and tell your mama not to come back here either. Look at the verse. That's what mortify means. Now, sometimes we'll sit down and we'll watch a television show. Not talking about me, I'm talking about sometimes people do. And 51 cuss words later, he's like, well, this might not be that good of a show. No. You were tolerating what you should mortify. Don't let that trash come into your life. Some of you, because your mother struggled with fear, you struggle with it, and your grandmother struggled with it, and your great-grandmother, and you just say, well, this is part of our trait. And this is what the Joneses do. Oh, you have the Holy Spirit of God residing in you. So whatever it is, it says, look at the verse again. Ye, through the Spirit. So it's not say, okay, fear and worry is gone with my life. I'm not going to fear and worry anymore. You'll fear and worry. I had this thought this week. Okay, jacket's getting a little bit snug. No more sugar. I'm just going to lay down sugar. And somebody brought me this massive banana pudding. And I'm like, no more sugar next week. I'm enjoying it this week. If you try to do it, you can't. Look at the verse. Ye, through the Spirit. Holy Spirit, I can't do it. But through me, will you give me power to reject fear and embrace faith? Jesus, I struggle with this. And you know I've struggled with this for decades. I can't defeat it. But through you, Holy Spirit, you can give me strength to either run from it or to get my shovel and off with his head and off with his head. And there's your mama too, off with it as well. That's what we're supposed to do with these ungodly practices. Look at verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, it says ye shall live. It literally means you shall have the Christ life. Do you get it? It is your choice. Do you want your flesh, your dead, unsaved body to control you? Or do you want God that resides in you to defeat your body so that your spirit is controlling you and you can have life like you've ever known it? That's what it's talking about here. How many of you have seen the FBI Most Wanted list? So I think it was last week they added somebody else to it and they put a $50 million, I think, bounty upon his head. It's like, dude, if he's hanging out with one of my neighbors, I'm turning him in. $50 million. What are they doing? They are showing the number one, number two, number three enemy of our country, and they're saying, let's go after it. What in your life is number one enemy? What is the thing that Satan uses to trip you up? What is it that you struggle with? Now, if it's there, I just can't. You can't. But if through the Spirit you mortify that thing, the Spirit can through you. So my question, the FBI has its most wanted list. What's the three things in your life that you struggle with that you say, I can't get victory over? Here's the invitation. I'm asking you to allow the Holy Spirit to take on number one. Once you defeat number one, we'll go after number two. And once we get number two, we'll go after number three. What's number one in your life? I'm asking you today to make a commitment. Holy Spirit, you're going to have me strength. Give me strength that I don't have. You're going to have to enable me. You're going to have to empower me. You're going to have to give me wisdom. Do I run from it or do I get the shovel and off with his head? Help me. And listen, through the Spirit, I don't know what your number one is. Through the Spirit, you can have victory. Tracy and I years ago were, look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You say, what's it talking about? One of the marks of that you're a believer, the Spirit of God controls you. You're not being controlled by your flesh, by your body, by your cravings. You are being controlled by your inner man. You are being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Years ago, Tracy and I, we were Scottsdale, Arizona, or Palm Springs, California. And Tracy got this ungodly, awful, horrible idea. She wanted to go ride in a hot air balloon. Guys, don't I have a picture up there? And I said, honey, that's not biblical. That's not godly. God would not have us ride in a hot air balloon. She says, I want to do it. We're out here, and it's flat, and I want to do it. I said, baby, Scripture says, lo, I am with you always. It doesn't say anything about how being with you always. God doesn't want us to do it. Now, here's my problem. I don't like heights. If I'm going to be in heights, I want to be in a roller coaster that has that thing come over you, you know, whatever you call it, and you put on a seatbelt. So I'll go on an airplane, but I got a seatbelt on. There's no seatbelts on hot air balloons. And they don't have a harness that comes over you. So we get there. I'm not in a good mood. I'm not filled with the Spirit. I'm not liking it. And I get there in this bucket, and there's like 8 of us or 10 of us in this bucket. This bucket comes up to like right here on me. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, I don't have a seatbelt. I don't have a harness. And then I'm going to be a million miles away, and I can just accidentally fall out and I'm gone, and she's going to go marry somebody else. So this dude, and I'm not being, I probably am. He doesn't look like a pilot from American Airlines. Let me just say that. So I start quizzing him. How long you been doing this? And he tells me, so what kind of training you got? You know, my plane that got me here, they had to go through all of this certification. He says, sir, I'm going to get you up and I'm going to get you down. I said, there's a key word missing on that. I said, where's the word safely? Are you going to get me up and get me down safely so that I can walk away? We're there. And they had all these sandbags around it. And this dude, who was no American or United Airlines pilot, I was like, what's all the sandbags for? I couldn't tell you this guy's name, but I remember what he said. He said, this hot air balloon was created and made to soar in the heavens. These sandbags keep it on the earth. He said, you get rid of these sandbags, it will do what it was created to do, and it will soar. I said, that's pretty good, but it wasn't made to soar with me. Listen, you were created to soar. And the flesh and your body that's not saved and all of your stuff, your sandbags, they hold you down. And you say, well, I can't defeat that. I can't defeat that. Well, I'm just stuck with this the rest of my life. You are. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, annihilate, destroy, kill with a shovel the deeds of the flesh, you shall live, or you shall soar like you were created to soar.